You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 353. Notre Dame finally came away with another win, 30-27 over Miami. Notre Dame is now 3-5 on the season, and Miami is now 4-4. So, Randall, you were at the game, so I do want to get your perspective and the feel of the stadium. The players continue to look like they're playing with more on the sideline. There's a lot of emotion over there, and just curious if it felt like there was a lot of emotion in the stadium, and if you thought were they jumping around the whole time, or was it just whenever the cameras just caught them when they were jumping up and down?
No, they were doing it quite a bit, and Brian Kelly was even jumping with them. I don't know if you saw that video, or if they showed it on TV
where he was swaying back and forth.
Yeah. He said after the game he's going to leave that up to the players from now on, because I think it looked like he got a little out of rhythm with the rest of the
It guys. Almost looked like he was doing it on purpose, but...
No, they did it right away when they got out and the game started. I'd say Doug Randolph is responsible for a lot of it. He's always there getting the players hyped up, keeping them on the sideline, waving towels. I mean, he's definitely the guy... And we had mentioned, they just need somebody over there to hype up the guys. He's that guy. When there's a timeout or something, you'll see him out there in the huddle. And actually, that was Corey Robinson was the one that did this. But one of the first timeouts, EQ wasn't quite, he was kind of outside the huddle. And Corey goes over and grabs him and like pushes him into the center of the huddle. You know, you're obviously one of the main guys here, so get in there. So it's good to see some of those guys that aren't playing, definitely helping out and doing whatever they can to help the team succeed. But no, the energy in the stadium was very good, especially the first quarter and a half. It was going crazy. The section where I was at, section 2, does stand. They're known to stand for quite a bit of the game. It's right behind the band. But yeah, there was a lot of energy. It kind of died a little bit when Miami started to make its comeback. But then at the end of the game, you know, obviously, it picked up again. It's up and down. The fans are very up and down. As soon as something starts to go wrong, everybody starts groaning and yelling at the refs and the coaches. And yeah, I like the one guy's T-shirt in front of me. He said, "Been arguing calls every play call since 1969 or something." So,
some of the topics I wanted to discuss is. Is this what we expected out of this game? Is one thing I want to discuss, and then also, what did we learn from this game? So let's start with expectations.
I want to throw one more thing there. There's way too much orange in that stadium. So obviously, Notre Dame fans have given up a little bit on the season, and they're selling their tickets to the opponents.
Then let's get this out of the way. I saw a tweet where there was chants going out to the stadium, "Go Canes!"
Yes,
maybe in the end of the second, in the third. Third quarter, somewhere in there. Did you hear those?
Oh, yes. It was very odd. It was actually pretty impressive. Like,
that's embarrassing.
I know. But it was interesting to watch them. There was one old guy just not too far from me, and he was, at the beginning, you know, he argued every call. He's by himself here amongst a group of nerds, and he's, you know, first down. He's waving his arms, pointing towards the first down. I'm like, you poor guy. If I'm standing by myself like that, I definitely wouldn't be quite as... vocal and arguing is what he was. So anyways,
all right, so let's start with expectations. Well, they had kind of talked, the players, Brian Kelly, mostly Kaiser had talked about staying ahead of the sticks, Brian Kelly talked about putting themselves in good position on third down, and so we kind of expected, and I think the players kind of hinted at using more of the short passing game. And we definitely saw a heavy dose of that. A lot of screens, some bubble screens, we even saw a tight end screen, a middle screen that didn't end up, could have ended up tragically.
Yeah.
And then so did you think that they used that too much and that Notre Dame would have had opportunity to go deeper?
Yes, we actually talked about that in the game. There's a guy behind me that talked with it. And it's kind of the same thing that we've seen from Notre Dame all year. It takes too long to make adjustments. They come out, and it was working great. These short passes, it's exactly what we wanted to see. It's something that's been missing in the offense. But then, obviously, Miami caught on to that, and it wasn't until the end of the fourth that they started changing it up again. And I think they, just like what we've seen before, they stuck with it too long.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it was a smart game plan going into it. Miami is going to rush hard, go after the passer. In fact, there was a report that the defensive line was told, get to the quarterback, and we'll make adjustments to stop the running game. And so I think it's a smart game plan to try to burn some of that pressure to get it out quick. And there were a bunch of times when Kaiser got it out quick, and maybe it was just a 5-yard gain. Sometimes it was an 8-yard gain. But if he would have held on and passed it downfield, he would have gotten hit or sacked, because there was pressure coming on a lot of the time, and where if he wouldn't have got it out to those short routes, he would have been hit or worse.
And I thought to start the game, it was a perfect game plan. I mean, coming out, they were scoring right away. They were doing exactly what everybody was hoping they would do. And very up-tempo. I was surprised. I mean, they were snapping the ball with close to just under 30 seconds.
The TV couldn't even keep up. There was several times, and that has not happened often at Notre Dame, but there was several times when we missed half the play.
And Kaiser commented after the game, you know, that's what they want to do. He said they've actually wanted to do that all year, but he's been trying to find that perfect play. He takes up too much time. He's admitted that he's doing that. And, you know, they have been looking for that deep ball. So I think a lot of, you know, some of it had to do with Kaiser. I just wish that when Miami adjusted for it, Notre Dame would have.
And I do think one of, in particular, the one play, it was like 3rd and 3, and there was two short routes. I couldn't see all the routes, but there was two routes to the left, and Kaiser was looking over there, and I think he got sacked, or maybe he did just throw it at the feet then of one of the receivers. I think he got sacked on that play. But I think a lot of that is Kaiser's fault to not get on to the next receiver, because I mean, you need to be able to just see, this side's not going to open, where's my next read at? And I don't think he does that quickly enough. Yeah, I did rewatch the game just a little bit ago, and he definitely does do it sometimes, but I think too often he locks in on where he thinks there's going to be an open receiver, and if it's not there, he doesn't recognize it quickly enough to move on.
Yeah, and there is an argument about not having enough time. I mean, he did get hit fairly often. I was surprised that they didn't call roughing the passer or a late hit, because he got hit a couple times after he let go of the ball. So he wouldn't have had more time to pass the ball. And a couple of those throws where he threw it low into the ground, I know the one went into the ground, bounce, it was like an Andrew Hendricks-type pass. And then another one right after that, I think that first one was to Stefferson, I'm not sure, but I think he got hit. Just before that, he had a big hit. And I don't know if it was his shoulder. You know, we've seen that earlier. There was another game earlier this year where we saw him not making the throws he needed to. And I think that kind of threw him off his game. And they were getting pressure on him. So, you know, that's the other side. You know, would he have had time to throw it deeper? But I did wish they would have mixed it up a little more.
The biggest passing play was to Stefferson, and it was he caught the ball about 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, and the rest of it was just all on the ground. Ended up being a 53-yard gain. And as far as passes over 15 yards, the only time they did throw some, but most of them probably, I'm not sure how many there were, but probably about 90% of them were when they were in the red zone, and they were trying to get it to the back of the end zone. There was at least one to Wisher, at least one to Stefferson, and maybe one to Torrey Hunter. But yeah, that's when they chucked it, and they did it a few times. At least they did it twice in a row at one point in the first half, where they ended up just getting a field goal then instead of at which I know we're complaining about both sides. Either they're not, if they throw it deep and it isn't a completion, well, that was bad.
I think there's a valid point. They need to mix it up. They're either one extreme or the other. And so I think they need a little bit of both.
One other thing that we expected and that we got, Kaya had his longest run of the season. I think it was about a 4 yard run, 4 or 5 yard run.
I think it was six. I think they announced it as six.
Okay. It wasn't for a first down, which is what I had predicted.
Yeah, his long was six. We predicted before this, he had his longest rushing yard was a rushing attempt was 2 yards. I think we predicted he would get a longer one, and I think we said it would be 8 yards. So
did we say close. Okay? I remember we said 8 yards.
Yeah, we said 8 yards. But yeah, that they definitely kept pressure on him, and that was a very intense first quarter.
Okay, as far as defense, what we expected, Notre Dame in a 3-4 versus a 4-3, they continued to really mix it up, and I didn't track which they used more. I think they used 4-down more than they did 3-down, but it did seem like in some drives they were a lot more in three down situations. But they still, even if they have a fourth guy down there, he often does go, if it's Trombetti or Dalen Hayes, he often does go with the tight end if the tight end runs a route. But either way, I guess we'll get to that. What did we learn? There's a lot of good things that we learned in this game. I think that's all I have for kind of what we expected to see. So let's move on then and talk about what did we learn. And there was definitely some steps in the right direction. This team finally, this felt like midway through the third quarter, after Miami had scored off the botched punt return by C.J. Sanders, they were up 27-20. And at that point, actually even before that, after Miami got there, they kind of did the trick kickoff where they did the onside kick and they recovered that. At that point, it just felt, even though Notre Dame was still ahead, I think it was 20-7 at that point, it still just felt, it was like waking up from a dream and you're hearing something and you're not sure what it is, but it feels so familiar. And it felt like Stanford. It felt exactly like Stanford, actually.
Yeah, I was waiting to see how the team would respond, you know, being up 20-0, because so many times we've seen from Notre Dame, and what we've seen from them is that they get a lead and then kind of start playing conservative and let the other team into it. But I don't think they got a chance to do that. I think the momentum shifted with some of those bad plays on special teams. And it wasn't like they slowed down. I still don't know how they were going to respond. I was hoping they'd keep their foot on the gas and score as many points as they could.
So the positives on both sides of the ball, they started out strong defensively. Was it three straight drives where it was three and out? At least two, but regardless, incredible.
And they were all negative plays.
Yeah, first quarter and a half performance by the defense. And by the offense for the most part, too. When they were given opportunity to, they were short two offensive possessions because of special teams mishaps. But, well, actually, three, I guess. Yeah, but either way, what I liked is they finished strong then too. So we've seen them start strong, and then we've seen them fizzle away and not be able to finish strong. Against Texas, it was a little bit the other way, where we had to fight back from behind, and against Michigan State as well. But this is the first game this season where started out strong, had some mistakes, but were able to overcome those mistakes. And at the end, both sides of the ball were playing well. And at least our field goal kicking team came through too, because we definitely relied heavily on Justin Yoon's leg.
Yeah. It got a little scary there in the end, but they did come through. And this is what Brian Kelly's wanted from his team, that killer instinct. He's wanted them to be able to finish out games, because he said they're so close, which they have been, you know, in a couple of these games they've been so close, but they can't quite get over the hump and finish out the game.
There's a bunch of guys on defense that had outstanding games, but Jaron Jones had the best game.
They couldn't stop him.
Six tackles for loss. And a lot of it was, and this isn't just from Jerron Jones, but also Isaac Rochelle, the linebackers. They were doing a great job of getting off blockers. And a couple times, especially on the line, there was two blockers that they had to overcome.
Yeah, Jerron Jones was even triple teamed at times, which opens up, which frees up the other guys. But even his seven tackles, there were six tackles for loss and one sack. And then even a majority of the other sacks and tackles for loss the other guys picked up, Jerron Jones was creating the pressure, forcing the quarterback to step forward in the pocket so that those other guys could make the play. And whatever, if they had a shocking collar on him or whatever they did, they need to keep doing it because that's what Notre Dame needs from a guy like him. And he can do it.
Well, to me, there wasn't any question. He looked like he was the best player on the field.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was just he basically just shoved guys out of the way and just threw him to the side, and he was very determined to get to the quarterback.
And we should mention, there were a couple NFL scouts watching the game as well. I believe at least a handful from the Bears, and I'm not sure about other teams.
But he did obviously receive the game ball. He says the first one he's ever gotten. And he gave it to his parents. I guess it was his parents' anniversary, so he said he gave it to them, and he's not sure what they're going to do with it. But it was very deserving for him to get the game ball.
One other thing that we've been waiting for is more creativity with the play calling. And there was three plays that I haven't seen before this year from this Notre Dame team that I thought were extremely creative in their design. The first one was on the scoring touchdown. The first scoring touchdown, it was kind of a zone read play action and then a shovel pass to Torrey Hunter, who dove in for the touchdown. And then the second one was the first or second play of the second drive. EQ went in motion, and then it was a fake swing pass to him and then a handoff to C.J. Sanders on a reverse. And it netted 12 yards, so it wasn't, you know, a 30-yard run. But still, it was creative. It got the defense off balance, and I loved seeing that.
Especially the C.J. Sanders one. As it was happening, we were like, what are they trying to do? And then we saw what was happening, and I guarantee that play was designed to go the whole length of the field. If he would have had another block, he would have scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think they were planning to do that, and it worked very well if he just got a little more help on the blocking.
And then the third one was on Notre Dame's final drive where they kicked the field goal. I believe they had two runs, maybe a run by Folston and then a run by Kaiser. And then it looked like an inside zone read, but it looked like the play was broken. Adams started running forward as if it was an inside zone, and then he kind of stepped back, and Kaiser almost kind of froze too, and then they both started running together, and then he pitched it forward for a decent gain. It was 11 yards then, but it froze the defensive end or linebacker who was crashing in. And again, just a creative play. And did you think it looked like it was broken?
Yeah, I faintly remember it looked like they were gonna, that it wasn't going right, that something was messed up, but then obviously, when it was over with, it seemed like it was designed to do that.
And I think Notre Dame needs a couple plays like these every week that are not necessarily trickery plays, but plays that are different, especially in the running game or in the short forward forward toss type plays, just because it's probably not going to get fumbled. If it's blocked well, if the defense bites on it, you can definitely get some positive yards out of it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be something crazy like bringing Kaiser or Zaire in at the same time and trying to throw it, but yeah, mix it up a little bit and catch him off guard.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the final drive that Miami had. Notre Dame kicked the field goal to go up 30-27. And then Miami had about 30 seconds left, no timeouts. and they ran a couple quick outs. I think they got 14 on the first one and 6 or 8 on the next one. And then Notre Dame, it looked like they were definitely playing off coverage. And then it looked like they were playing a little bit more press coverage, but I don't think they were, because they did give a decent cushion. And I think they converted again for just a few yards. Or did they convert, but they...
It was an incomplete pass on the third play.
It was incomplete. Okay, yeah. So then it was like third and two, third and four, something like that.
Third and two.
And then Notre Dame, they were getting ready, or Miami was getting ready to snap the ball. Notre Dame calls a timeout, changes to press coverage, and Brian Kelly references in his Sunday teleconference, and Miami was still expecting them to be in off coverage. Kaya didn't find anyone open, and the Notre Dame defensive line came up big again and got the sack.
Yeah, Niles Morgan got credited for that sack, and when they did get that, I was scared they were going to call unsportsmanlike conduct or something, because they stayed over the quarterback for a while. It was like they were waiting for the refs to throw a flag. But I don't know. There's probably just a little bit of jawing going on there. But
Brian Kelly said that they thought that as long as they would keep Miami behind the 40-yard line, that they wouldn't be able to kick a field goal. And that's why he changed the coverage then. So we as fans often think that, oh, it's just so basic, just press them all the time or blitz all the time. But there's so much that goes into this where you don't want to give up a big play. And maybe some fans are a little bit critical of Notre Dame playing off coverage so much with the corners. But we haven't given up big plays since Brian Van Gorder has been fired. What was the longest play that Miami have had? Maybe like a 25 or 30-yard play.
I'm not even sure what the longest one would have been.
It looks like they had a 24 and a 21-yard, two 21-yard plays. But there, none of these 40-yard plays for touchdowns. So, and that's kind of what you might give up some more short stuff if you're playing more off coverage. But for 3 weeks in a row now, Notre Dame's defense has been playing well enough to win. And that's all I ask of my defense that I'm cheering for. Just play well enough to win. Don't win the game.
So didn't they do that last year?
No. Oh, not okay. Even.
They won 10 games.
The offense was just superb.
But they have jumped all the way up to, is it 54th overall in overall defense?
Somewhere in the 50s.
Which they haven't played the top offensive teams either in the last couple of weeks.
It is true.
So you need to remember that.
What I look at, though, is what did Miami do against Florida State, against North Carolina, and was it Virginia Tech where they got destroyed?
Yeah.
And as far as how many points Miami scored in those games, very comparable. Miami scored 20 points on defense against Notre Dame, and that's right in line, very close to where Miami or Florida State, and
they scored 19 against Florida State, 13 against North Carolina, 16 against Virginia Tech, and 27 against Notre Dame. So
20. Well, but I'm comparing.
Yeah,
I just want to compare the defense. And so even though Notre Dame still give it more points, even at 20 points, to Miami than the other teams. That's still close enough. That's so far.
We said if they'd be under 22, then
for the season.
Yeah,
but again, this is so far from where they were 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
To me, it's going to be tough. Where the defense is at now, do you hire in a big defensive coordinator?
Yeah, you got to hire somebody else in.
Here's kind of my thinking on this. Notre Dame continues to do well on defense. They don't hire someone else in. And keep in mind, remember BVG's defense looked pretty good for half a season, his first half season at Notre Dame. And so I do think that teams are going to be able to somewhat figure out what Notre Dame's trying to do. And even though it's not lights, they're still using a lot of the stuff that BVG installed. At least from what Brian Kelly has said, they're just simplifying it and tweaking it maybe a little bit. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very happy where this team's at defensively. However, I do agree with you. They do need to hire in big-time defensive coordinator.
Well, I think that a lot of this defense is Brian Kelly. And so he needs somebody to come in and that can run that unit, that he has to do less work to help him out. Because I think a lot of this is Brian Kelly's doings.
All right. Navy is coming up, and maybe the biggest concern is missed tackles when you're playing Navy. Because all they need is just a few yards each play, and they will run the length of the field and get into the end zone. So missed tackles can kill you against Navy.
They are getting better at that.
So. Much improved.
We can talk more about preview, but Navy did pass for, was it 290-some yards this past weekend?
Okay, I knew it was a lot. I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah.
Which they were down 28-0 or okay, something outrageous.
I didn't see what it was, but.
All right, I think I'm ready to go through the different position groups and just give kind of our thoughts on that.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the special teams now or do you want to do that at the end?
Sure, let's do it now.
Well, the special teams have some serious issues, keep making bad mistakes. And we were talking about, I don't know if that's the next coaching change that needs to happen, because Scott Booker is the special teams coach and the tight ends coach, and neither one is producing. I'm not really going to get into that anymore, but special teams is, there's got to be some coaching. Onside kick, you should know that's an onside kick and you go for the ball. They look like they both backed away from it.
I know.
And I don't know what they were thinking.
The only thing I can think of is that they thought the 10-yard line was 5 yards further than it was.
Okay. Wouldn't have made it?
Is the only thing that makes sense.
So scared to hit the ball because of what's been happening on the punt.
Yeah, but that's different players, though. I mean, I don't know if it would affect... Would it affect the whole unit if C.J. Sanders just dropped the ball?
I don't know. I mean, when they're making... it's stuff that should be coached. I don't know what the deal... It's not like they're getting hit and the ball comes out of their hands or something. It's stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And, okay, so you had that one. The punt that hit... was it Julian Love?
No, it was...
Jalen Elliott. It hit him in the back.
No, it was Troy Pride Jr.
Okay, Jalen Elliott was the one that backed off on the... onside kick. Troy Pride, the punt was a bad punt. They probably expected it to go deeper than it did.
I think if I'd be opposing teams, I would just start kicking really shallow and just kind of waiting for it to bounce off Notre Dame helmet.
But C.J. Sanders, they have him right in front. He needs to run around and get their attention. He was staying there. I'm sure he was yelling, but he needs to do something new, do more than what he was doing.
And I do think it's tougher than what we realize, because, and this is something that Jack Nolan and Brooks were talking about on the radio show, post-game Notre Dame radio show, that you don't always know where, like, okay, it's right, the ball's coming down right by me, but I can't see it. Is it to my left, to my right? Is it going to hit me right now? And so it's hard. I don't know how you tell, how CJ is supposed to tell him that, hey, head to the sideline, head to the field, or back up. It's going to go just over your head if you stop running right now.
Well, it's kind of like calling out a screen when you're playing basketball. You say left or right, and you do it often enough. You practice at least that it click. As soon as they say it, you know exactly where it's at.
There must be some way to fix it, because I don't remember other years there being this many issues.
No. So that was the other thing. Then C.J. Sanders trying to get that punt.
I've got a great quote from Brian Kelly on that.
Well, here's something that Reggie Brooks pointed out. He said that Ricky Waters, when he was playing, he returned a kick. Yeah, it would have been a kickoff, 98 yards. Or no, it could have been a punt. He returned punt or a kick for 98 yards for a touchdown. Lou Holtz was yelling at him because he fielded the ball inside the 5-yard line, which meant you do not do that. And so even inside the 10, You get out of the way. Yeah, you're pinned, but the ball is your, it's your ball. You're not going to make a mistake like they did there.
And there was players all around him. Here's what Brian Kelly said in the, I believe this was in the Sunday teleconference. He said, talking about CJ, at 7 yards, your feet are in concrete. Meaning, don't go, I guess 7 yards, don't go further back than 7 yards.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to get it, then run forward, get out of the way.
Yeah. So some of that, the coaches have to tell the players that.
Definitely, special teams coaching has been an issue. There's been some good things. Our field goal kicking, although early in the season was a little hit or miss, that's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
The return game, kickoff return game has been pretty good. There's been maybe a few issues here and there.
It's not like the special teams, you know, is embedded. It's that they're just making these mental errors.
And very dumb ones. Not, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about different position groups then.
Oh, I'll just quick throw it in. John Cherison, I'm not sure how to say it, did some kickoffs at the end of the game. I guess Justin Yoon was dealing with tendonitis, and so that's why John was doing the kickoffs. Brian Kelly liked his placement and hang time a little bit better than what Newsom's kickoffs were, so that's why they went with him, which... It's fine. He did a good job. Took some of the workload off of Yoon, and Yoon, you know, made his field goals when he needed to.
Offensive line. There was three players that were in, had some injuries that are currently going through concussion protocol. Colin McGovern is one of them, and then Cage and Martini are the other two. So Bivin was playing a lot again. He had a false start. Did look like he was playing better than against Stanford, where he had a few more issues. Mustafa had a holding penalty that really just needs to clean that up. If it's not snapping, it's improper blocking, I guess. But, yeah, any other thoughts from the offensive line?
Well, one of the, on the, what was the first drive of the game where Adams had a huge hole to run through, got a big gain, and from where we were sitting, we were looking directly at that gap in the offensive line. It was the left side, and it was finally what we've wanted to see from them all year. They dominated. I mean, there was like a huge hole. Anybody could have run through that hole for a big gain. So I don't know what they did in that, but they it was shocking to see that gaping hole and him coming through that. So that was a little bit better, but you know, they still, it wasn't consistently like that. Yeah, those penalties.
I was surprised how Notre Dame only gave up one sack. And you could argue that was Kaiser's fault. So that's one positive, because Miami is an attacking team, and I don't know how many sacks they had on this season, but they at least led the nation in tackles for loss.
They had 4 tackles for loss.
So that to me, a big part of that, a big part of it is play calling, but a big part of it too is the offensive line and Kaiser getting rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah, the only thing is they need to engage the defensive guys more. They had 4 pass deflections. I don't know how much of that is offensive line, but they need to keep them away from that. But, yeah, I mean, they did play a good game. I mean, it wasn't – I think they continue to get better, and it's just a work in progress.
Tight ends. Nick Wisher, he did have a great pancake. He destroyed someone on one of the running plays. But then he ran an ugly-looking route that Deshaun Kaiser, I think threw a good ball. And if Wisher would have been looking – over his left shoulder instead of looking over his right shoulder where there was a defender. I mean, it looked like he started almost like a...
It was an awkward-looking route.
It was kind of like a slant and then a post, and then he was angling it again to the pylon. But then he kind of veered more upfield, kind of rounded it a little bit. And if he would have kept it on a line once he started heading towards the pylon, I think he would have got there.
Yeah, and would have turned the right way.
Yeah.
It just looked...
He lost step and a half when he was turning back inside. Yeah.
It just looked very awkward when he was running that route.
And again, I think that's... I blame coaching on that. I'm not sure if these guys are as talented as what we've had other years, but I think that you're right. Part of that is coaching, too.
All right. The other thing would have been Smythe at the end of the game, you know, reaching for the touchdown, which
I don't know how to feel about that. I mean,
they do that all the time.
If he scores, then we're excited.
Yeah. But he maybe did it a little bit too early. If you're going to fuss about it, he did it too early. He wouldn't have needed to. But yeah, luckily it came out. It ended up okay. But yeah, you got to hang on to the ball.